The Bible study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Good morning and welcome. This is the Bible study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Well, good morning. I'm Roland Lettner. Our guest pastor this morning, Pastor Tim Ostermeyer from Hope Lutheran Church in St. Ann. Not St. Ann, Church in Hope, Missouri, or where? I got it wrong last. I should know better, but you're such a familiar figure here.
A familiar figure.
Such a familiar figure.
Like a figure eight. Or
a friendly face in a sea of discontent.
Oh. The world is a nasty place, you know. Smile. Smile. Yeah. Brighten somebody's day.
You know what? We're going to get to that in this text in Matthew today about not being
smile?
Anxious. Yeah.
Oh, your heart is breaking?
Yeah. You know, you got to be careful because some people, when you don't worry about anything and you're always happy, people assume things about you that you're maybe not right in the head.
That'd be a great song. Don't worry, be happy.
You should pen that.
I think so.
Copyright it.
We got
millions.
Ourselves a hit.
Yeah, do it a cappella too, and it'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Well, how is everything in good old St. Ann?
It's good old. Yeah, things are going well at Hope and St. Ann. Worship on Saturday nights at 6 p.m. At 8 and 10:45 Sunday mornings. We have a great adult Bible class on Sunday morning, and I have to say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. We've got anywhere between 45 and 60 people in our adult Bible class on
really?
Sunday morning. Yeah, yeah. It's insane.
Well, that's a great accommodation to the teacher, I would say.
As I said, the accommodation is to the Holy Spirit. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. We've got an enthusiastic group of people that get together on Sunday mornings to study God's Word and to worship at our 8 and 10:45 service, and it's great. It's great. It's great being a child of God in this world, and if you are something extraordinary and something special. Because it appears you're a rare thing in this world, and that's a rare thing. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Don't think for a minute God has forgotten you or that he doesn't care about you or you're not important. If you believe Jesus is Lord and Savior, you are an extraordinary, special person who is resting fully under the grace of God.
Well, you were setting us up beautifully for this text here.
Oh, I hadn't even read it. What are we reading?
You haven't even read it?
No, I'm
Matthew?
Teasing.
You haven't read Matthew? You got through seminary without reading Matthew?
Dr. Gibbs will be over here whipping me with a wet noodle. No, we're in the Sermon on the Mount. Yes, chapter 6.
505-780-50, 1-800-730-2727, or KFUO at KFUO.org. If you want to email in a question or a comment, that's available to you as well. Pastor, let's begin with prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, everlasting Father, we lose sight of the fact too often that this world is passing away. Everything in it is dying. Everything in it is dying. Nothing is lasting. And your word has told us it is all slated for destruction. It will all be destroyed. The heavens and the earth will pass away. But your word will never pass away. And that word became flesh in the body of your Son Jesus. And he lived a perfect life. And he suffered and paid hell and damnation on the cross for all of us. Rose conquering death itself. And all that is his is given to us through faith in him. We who call him Savior are saved by your grace. Increase that faith in us, that it may overflow into the lives of others, that we may not keep our hearts and our minds focused on the things of this world, but that we may look beyond this world, beyond the grave, to the eternal life that is ours in Christ Jesus, to the treasures of heaven itself that await us in Christ Jesus. In his name, amen.
Amen. All right, Matthew 6, verses 16 to 34. You want to read those real quick just before we start?
Matthew 6, 16 through 34.
You know, we're going to be
speed read it. Done.
All
done
right.
Deal.
We begin with something that is not, you know, a practice, I guess, in much of the church today. Maybe it's an individual thing for some people, but this is fasting, beginning at verse 16. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. We don't really make that a church practice, at least not in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, fasting.
What does he say here? Does he say, and if you fast? No, he says, and when you fast. Which means these people fasted. It was a regular practice.
That was a Jewish thing.
It was. I mean, Jesus is talking to people who were Jews, but is it something that's lost on us today? Some extent, yeah. Some extent. I know in Roman Catholicism, they actually make fasting mandatory. You've got to fast and abstain from meat on Friday. I think they've cut it down to just a couple of Fridays a year, or maybe Good Friday or something like that. There's sometimes fasting before receiving the Lord's Supper. In Roman Catholicism, it used to be from midnight until you receive the Lord's Supper. Then they cut it down to an hour beforehand. But even mandatory fasting, is that the whole purpose of fasting? Fasting plays a purpose in our lives today, whether it's widely used or not. And Jesus is saying here, don't do it publicly. Don't do it when other people know you're doing it. So if somebody is saying to you, you've got to fast on Friday, or you've got to fast on Wednesday, well, then you're going to know that everybody's going to know you are, and all your friends are. Even fasting and abstaining from something during the season of Lent. Now, there's something I think a lot of people still do, that leading up to the Passion of Our Lord, during the season of Lent, people will give up chocolate, or they'll give up ice cream, or they'll give up something, but generally they tell all their friends. Yeah, I'm not eating any Snicker bars, you know. I'm laying off chocolate, you know, or something like that. What's Jesus say here? When you fast, do not look gloomy. Don't let everybody know so that everybody admires you and they go, oh, you know, you're such a good person, etc. No. He said, do it in secret. Don't let anybody know what you're doing. Don't let anybody know what you've given up. Let anybody know when you're giving up something. But what's the point in giving up this stuff if other people don't know? Well, if you were to fast, Roland, let's say today, without even telling anybody.
I fast between meals.
Yeah, there you go. You drive your car very fast.
Yes.
But if you were to decide that all this day or for the next 24 hours you weren't going to eat anything, but you weren't going to tell anybody, would you forget during the day that you were fasting?
Probably not.
No, it would be a constant reminder to yourself. Now, you could remind everybody around you you're doing it too and make their life miserable. Or you could keep it a secret. You could do what Jesus says here, wash your face, put a little lotion, a little moisturizer on so you don't look famished. But it would be a constant reminder to you that you're fasting, a constant reminder to why you're fasting, and a constant reminder to pray. And sometimes in prayer, this comes up in confirmation class where the scriptures tell us, pray without ceasing. Oh, could I do that? Pray without ceasing. You mean never stop praying? Oh, that. Well, if you were fasting and there was a constant reminder within your body that you were fasting, and it would be a constant reminder also as to why you were fasting, and you might be in constant dialogue with your Lord. What a blessing that would be. What a blessing that would be. There's the purpose of fasting. It's not to put on a show for other people. It's not to win brownie points with God. But it is, as Jesus says, your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. He will bless you. You will be blessed through this. Do you think there's a great blessing in a continuous prayer? Praying without ceasing for a day? Wow! What a blessing that would be. That everything that's happening to you, it's like having that earbud in or that Bluetooth, and your Father in heaven is constantly on the cell phone with you, regardless of what's happening to you. You're constantly where He's listening in. You're dialoguing with Him. You're speaking to Him. There's the purpose for fasting. And I encourage you, fast. Try it. You don't have to do it for a week. You don't have to do it for 40 days. You don't even have to do it for a whole day. Just fast. Set a period of time or something that you're going to give up, and when the urges come, appetites, whatever, it just reminds you to pray. Secretly reminds you within your own body, and what a blessing that is to be reminded more often to pray. And there's not a one of us that couldn't benefit greatly from more prayer in their life. What a neat thing.
If you back up just a half a verse from the end, but your Father who is in secret. Now, I get the part about, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. But what does this mean, your Father who is in secret?
Well, He's not walking around visibly to everybody. We see Him. We know He's there. We believe in Him through faith, not through sight with our eyes. And this Father who we are in connection with when we're fasting, it's a faith connection. So this Father who's in secret but is certainly revealed through faith, this faith is strengthened. This relationship is strengthened. This isn't your earthly Father. This is your Father who's in secret he's talking about. So that there's not any confusion there. Your heavenly Father.
Now, here we go. Lay up treasure in heaven.
I'm just going to say something that is playing through all these things that we're going to hit today is the word seeking. The word seeking.
I got stuck on treasure, sorry.
On treasure?
Yeah.
Well, seeking treasure. What about the fasting thing? Those who seek reward, who seek admiration from other people, and he says, no, do this in secret. You need to seek the things from your Father, the blessings from your Father, not the admiration of people around you. You know, oh, I'm giving up chocolate, you know. So it's this whole thing, and it's going to close out, you know, talking about seeking first the things of the kingdom of God. So all through this, it's going to be seeking stuff. And where your desires, where your appetites, what you're seeking needs to be focused on. And he's just corrected us in the fasting thing that when we fast, he says when, not if, when, you need to seek relationship with your Father in heaven. You need to seek His grace and His blessings.
Now, if I recall, I think earlier in Matthew, in this chapter 6, was it yesterday where he refers to the Pharisees already having received their reward?
Yeah. Because of the admiration of the people.
That's it. You're done.
They do it all in front of everybody, you know, and they make a big show out of their giving to the poor people, and they make a big show out of their fasting and their sacrifices and the rituals and the holy life that they lead and the things that they do. You know, they being a Pharisee was a full-time job. 613 commandments they had that they had to keep. You and I, we'd have to go to work every day, so we couldn't
drive to work and keep 613 commandments.
No, but they had full-time jobs to keep the 613 commandments, and they were all outward things that you had to do, which is, won the admiration of people everywhere. You know, the Pharisees are generally seen as bad people, but no, they weren't. They were the holy, holy, holy people of the time. They were the ones that, if anybody was going to heaven, they were.
The true believers.
Yeah. And Jesus said they're whitewashed walls. Yeah, doing all the outward things, but filthy on the inside, needing forgiveness and cleansing. Excuse me.
That's all right.
Okay. Allergy time of year.
Oh, it's always allergy time of year. Okay. Lay up treasure in heaven, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Let's stop there.
Okay, we're back to seeking stuff again.
Yes, we are.
Treasures on earth or treasures in heaven? What are you going to seek? What are you going to seek? And he says, look to lay up treasures in heaven.
So where is this sanctified UPS truck that I can get it up there?
Yeah. That's good. That's good. The UPS, the Universal Power of the Spirit. There it is, right there.
You are good on the fly, man.
Yeah. You accidentally walked in something I used in confirmation. The Holy Spirit is the UPS. What is this television show? I've never watched it except just briefly flipping through a channel. Something about getting off an island or getting on an island or staying on an island.
Survivor? Castaway?
Survivor. Yeah. Their whole point is to stay on the island, not get kicked off, right?
Right.
And I got thinking about that with this. Treasures on earth or treasures in heaven. If you were on an island and it was destined to blow up, there's a volcano just rumbling underneath, would you spend more time fixing up your hut or building your boat?
WWGD.
You bet.
What would Gilligan do?
Gilligan was building his doggone hut. They never spent any time fixing the boat. They invented everything known to man on that island.
Except a boat.
Except a patch for their boat. And fixing the motor. But we get so focused on building our huts here, and the heavens and the earth will pass away. This island is set for destruction. What should we have our hearts set on? Earthly treasures, fixing our huts, having our houses, having our homes, our businesses, our bank accounts, or investing in that boat that's going to get us off this island. And that ark, that boat, is Jesus Christ. Faith in him that gets us off, faith in him that gets others off. It's blowing up, folks. It's going away. Your body is not getting better. It's getting worse. And so is this world and everything in it that's dying, and it's slated for destruction. Seek not the things of this earth that rust, will destroy. Thieves can break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, and where your treasure is, your heart will also be also. And where your heart is, there's where your treasure is, vice versa. Focusing on that eternal life, focusing on getting off this island, focusing on the fact we're dying, folks. We're dying. And the only thing that you're going to take with you isn't going to be your money. It's not going to be your hot car or your expensive house or your swimming pool or your bank account. The only thing that's going to see you off this island, out of this world, is faith in Christ Jesus. That's the only thing. And where does that come from? Well, Romans 10:17 says what? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of Christ. So once again, we turn to God's word, we turn to his sacraments to be strengthened in that faith, to fortify our ship, the good ship, the good ship Jesus, powered by the Holy Spirit, that's going to safely see us through and home, building up treasures in heaven. What's interesting, too, is that St. Paul spoke of, I think, to the Thessalonians and maybe even to the Philippians. He called them his treasure, his joy, his crown in the day that Jesus returns. Now that's a really interesting thing to say. If you're gonna invest in something here that you can take with you, and you say, "Oh, you can't take anything with you." Yeah, you can. Somebody that's saved through you, somebody who you have shared Jesus with and they've come to faith, you're gonna see them in eternity. There's a treasure, something that Jesus himself will prize for all of eternity, that instead of devoting your time and your talents and your energies toward making money here or building a big house for yourself that's going to pass away, you invested it instead in people who are saved through faith in Christ Jesus. There's something that will go with you. They will certainly, as Paul says, be treasures in heaven for all of eternity that he was directly and you are directly involved in. What a neat, neat thing. There are things you can take with you. Your faith and others who come to faith.
And don't neglect your kids in that respect. Don't assume that because they're raised in a good Christian family, everything's going to be okay.
I'll tell you, one of the greatest heartbreaks is parents who come to me saying, Pastor, my kids aren't believers. What did I do wrong? And I say, well, you're a believer. What did your parents do? Well, they sent you to Lutheran grade school. They sent you to Lutheran high school. They made you go to church every Sunday. Well, these parents, they assumed their kids would have the same faith they did. They sent them to public schools, public high schools. They didn't make them go to church with them. They didn't take them to church. They just assumed these kids would just automatically have the faith they had, and they didn't nurture it the way that their parents had nurtured theirs, and suddenly they're in a great panic. We are to model ourselves after our Father in heaven, the ultimate parent who provides food, shelter, clothing, and the fourth thing, which is the most important thing, Jesus. Because the food, the shelter, and the clothing, those will pass away. The Jesus part will see us through out of this world into eternal life. Don't neglect to supply the Jesus part. It's the only part that's going to last. It's the only treasure that will see you through and last in eternity in heaven.
Well, Pastor Ostermeyer, now that you have lifted us up, let me drag you back down to earth.
Gee, thanks.
If I want to live this out based on what you've been saying about treasure, perhaps I should sell everything I have, give it to the poor, and join a commune somewhere.
Is that going to make things better?
I don't know. I'm just trying to be all that Jesus wants me to be.
Everything you have has come from the hand of the Lord. If you're looking to be saved by the law, as there was a guy who said that, Jesus, I've kept all the commandments. I've done everything. Now what do I need, to inherit the kingdom of heaven? He says, sell everything you've got. Give it all up and come and follow me. And the guy's very rich and he went away sad. The Lord has given you gifts in this world, and those gifts, whether it's money, whether it's nice houses and nice cars and things like that, in and of themselves, they are not evil. Possessions are not evil. Don't believe the Gnostics who say that anything of the flesh and anything of this world is all evil, and the Buddhists and that want to strip themselves away from any possession. No, but how you use it. How you use it to the glory of God, the benefit of your neighbor, to bring that treasure which is Jesus into their lives. Perhaps you don't want to be too swift in giving that stuff away.
Is this a verse, a portion of text that maybe before the Reformation, even perhaps after the Reformation, we think about the Pietistic movement, that's used as an encouragement to push us towards doing good works because, we're tending to be a little bit lazy, so...
The pie of what? Is that apple
the
pie?
The pie of who? The apple, cherry's pretty good, too.
Cherry pie.
We've got 30 seconds before the break, so we can pick up on the other side of
that. This was pushing us toward being more pious.
People need incentive. I mean, come on. We're not just going to do good works for the sake of doing good works, are we?
Yeah, the distinction between law and gospel is so confusing that Luther said anybody who can always properly distinguish deserves an honorary doctorate in theology. We are hardwired for the law. And so we think, I need to just cut myself to the core and give away all of my money and everything in order to please God. No, Jesus already pleased God. Now be about his work and bear fruit. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break.
Absolutely. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Pastor Tim Ostermeyer returns on the... I got you cut off that time. One of the core values of Concordia Seminary is faithfulness. Faithfulness to the Bible and the confessions of our church. Many people in America no longer believe that there is absolute truth. They say, you have your opinion, I have mine, all roads lead to heaven. But God has revealed truth. And we teach so that Concordia Seminary graduates will find winsome ways to present the truth.
The Studio A program is heard Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 right here on KFUO Radio. It's a program that uses the lens of a Lutheran Christian worldview to examine and discern things like theology and politics, history, family, education, culture, media. Whenever Christ crosses culture, Studio A is a program that serves listeners by equipping them to be salt and light, because it's difficult to be flavorful or illuminating if we're uninformed or one-dimensional in our faith. That's weekdays 4 to 6 on KFUO Radio.
You can contact your friends here at KFUO Radio via email. Just go to our website at KFUO.org, click the contact button, and there's our addresses. Teresa sent this email to Pastor Mark Hawkinson. Just wanted to praise God for your programs. They bless me tremendously. I really enjoy your music selection. I was first introduced to your program by my sister-in-law. She sent me a tape of it, and I listen to it every day at work. Thank you, Teresa, for those kind words and for listening to KFUO Radio.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? Recently, I have heard of several confessing to others that while they believed in God's promises, their faith had wavered. One of the problems with prayer is the internal conflict between what we believe and what we feel. The good news is that we are not the first generation to face these internal conflicts. You can find them all over the Psalms, for instance. In his second letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul talked quite openly about the time when his imprisonment had robbed him of his hope. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. And you also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. There's a theory that when he wrote to the Philippians, St. Paul was not too far removed from the moment he described to the Corinthians. So from his prison cell, he wrote, "I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again." I wonder if we always believe that prayers of righteous people have great power in their working. Lord, St. Paul himself admitted that the power of prayers of God's people had changed his own prayers. Deliver us, we pray, from praying only for what we want. For we pray in the name of Jesus our Savior, who prayed not for his will, but for yours to be done. Amen.
Good morning and welcome back. This is the Bible Study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. I'm Roland Lettner. Our guest pastor this morning is Pastor Tim Ostermeyer. from Hope Lutheran Church in beautiful, beautiful St. Anne, Missouri, over there where the drive-in used to be.
Yes, yes.
You know, sadly in St. Louis, we say that more frequently now. Over there where Becker's Delicatessen used to be,
yeah.
And over there where that used to be, and over there where that used to be.
I think today, no matter where you are in St. Louis, it's a beautiful day. We don't get that many, do we?
No, we don't.
No. St. Louis is one of those places that you either got your furnace on or your air conditioner on. And when you get these, if you get 2 weeks in the fall, 2 weeks in the spring where you've just got weather like this, you just suck it up and you enjoy it because it's rare. But it's wonderful. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. What a wonderful, beautiful day we've had. And so far, what, for the maybe the past week or so? You know, it's been like this.
Yeah, well,
wonderful.
He does make the sun to shine on those who are in his grace and those who are in the pagan neighborhood.
That's right.
As well. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, thanks
be to
God.
And the rain
for that.
To fall.
Yeah, because
yes.
If it were, you know, if it weren't for us Christians, we wouldn't get a sunny day, would we? You know, that's the fun thing. You get a pastor, you put him in a round room, and you tell him to find the corner.
That's right. That's right.
505-780-1800-730-2727. Before you finish your thought from going into the break, let's go to Herman and take a call from Herman real quick. Good morning. You're on with Pastor Ostermeyer. Go ahead, Herman.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, Pastor Ostermeyer. I appreciate your comment about fasting. It gave me the insight that in this month and year that we're celebrating the 400th anniversary of the translation of the King James Bible, the 200th anniversary of Dr. C.F.W. Walther, and another anniversary of the Reformation coming up this month, that your statement of fasting, essentially I heard you say that fasting, I would say, is not feeding on the world, but turning to the grace of God and what he has given, and take succor from that, and take nourishment from Jesus Christ, of the triune Godhead community by the Holy Spirit, and that what you're pointing to is that pietism had apparently put people on works righteousness self-reflection of outward things to do and inward things to do, but you're saying in fasting you're inwardly as well receiving from the grace of Jesus Christ and his counsel and by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and you know, good point. The pietism that Roland brought up a little while ago, you know, there's still a lot of pietism. There was a big pietist movement, and I know most people listening in going, "What are they talking about?" Well, it's it can be wrapped up into feeling very confident and very self-assured because you're doing all the right things. That someone who's very pious might be pictured as somebody who has their hands folded up with their fingers pointed toward heaven and their head bowed, and they always dress conservatively, and they can quote a scripture to you. And now, are all these things wrong? No. And they might, you know, be visiting those in the hospital and make sure that they make their Bible study every Tuesday and Thursday afternoon. Are these things wrong? No. But if their confidence is in the fact that they are doing all the right things, their confidence is no longer in Jesus, who did all the right things, who lived the perfect life without sin. Pietism really generates within someone a great deal of pride and confidence in self, and that I'm doing all the things I should be doing and God just should be tickled with me. Well, there's nothing you can do that God will be tickled with. He was only tickled with Jesus, who lived a perfect life from beginning to end and suffered and died in your place. And being clothed in his righteousness is what makes you pleasing in God's sight. Now, once that's done, now can we benefit from all that Jesus has done through prayer, through God's word, through his sacraments, through bearing fruit, through doing service? You bet. What a joyous, wonderful life it is to be a child of God. But you're not winning God's favor. It's already been won in Christ Jesus. The pietist, and still, you know, there's still a lot of pietism, that we feel good about our relationship with God because of what we're doing. instead of what Jesus has done in his life, his death, and his resurrection for us.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Oh, I didn't know you're still on the line.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But yeah, that's excellent. The whole fasting thing is a fringe benefit of all that Jesus has done for us. Yeah, yeah. We're not earning any favor from God by doing it. We're cashing in on the favor that Jesus has earned for us, and that's where it's not pietistic. Yeah. Thank you, Herman.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good call. I can also tell Herman mentioned the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible. I can tell he's a fan of that, because who else uses the word succor anymore?
Yeah, in 1611, here we are, 2011,
yeah.
King James authorized the KJV. So it's the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible. That's a huge thing. And we've got the 200th anniversary of C.F.W. Walther's birth. And I think most congregations, their pastors, have received a DVD on Walther, and it's being shown around town, and a lot of talk about Walther and a lot of things going on with Walther. We shouldn't forget Walther.
You know, to that point, it's going to start. There's going to be a showing down at the Frohna Festival this weekend, but the big, you know, sort of Hollywood premiere version is Monday. And Dale Ward, who's the producer and has put this program together from right here at Concordia Seminary, is going to be on Studio A Friday afternoon, and we're going to give away tickets to the gala affair on Monday.
And it's going to be held where?
At the De Pere Cinema there at Manchester and 270. I think it's called the De Pere 13, 14, 17, 900, I don't know.
That's at 270, you know, in Manchester.
They have closets with two seats, and they call it a cinema now. Right? So it's at Manchester. It's the De Pere Cinema.
And that's going to be Monday. Do you know the time?
I believe it's there's going to be special music, so you might want to turn up about 6, and I think the showing is at 7.
Okay, 6 or 7 Monday evening, next Monday.
If you go to lcms.org, the homepage for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, there's a link. You can watch some clips from the film, and it'll be coming up.
Now, we spoke about this yesterday. Yep. One of my members called up and said he'd heard about this, and we needed to promote it, and I said I'd be coming to KFUO and getting the scoop on this. Because even though the pastors have got these DVDs, and we can show these things in our congregations and in our Bible classes, how much better it would be to sit in a theater with Dolby surround sound and there's just, it's tough to beat a bag of popcorn, a soda, and a nice theater, you know, with surround sound, to see such a great film about such a great man.
Well, if you get an extra $75, yeah, get that popcorn and that soda.
Yeah. That's true. My wife and I go to the movie rarely, but when we do, it costs us more for popcorn and soda than it does for the two tickets.
My wife has this really big purse. Do you know why? For when we go to the movies.
Because with two kids,
she stuffs everything in there and we sneak it in. But don't tell anybody we do
that. My son used to take one of his skinny friends, but he didn't look so skinny when he walked in because they had him filled with popcorn.
That's right. Well, let's finish up on this treasure in heaven and then move on to not being anxious, because, brother, I tell you, this world is stressed out. We'll get to that in just a moment. But, you know, I think the Lutheran Study Bible somewhere uses the term the rewards of grace. And I thought, you know, grace, that wanted me to pause and ask you if you could maybe bring some understanding to
the
what
Lutheran
that means.
The Lutheran Study Bible says the rewards of grace.
Yeah,
I don't have a Lutheran Study Bible.
You don't?
In front of me you're not right now.
My gracious man, what's wrong with you?
I've got a... it says the rewards of grace.
The reward, when it talks about treasure in heaven, that you will be rewarded, it's the rewards of grace.
That's a neat way to put it, because you're not being rewarded for what you do. That would be a wage. That would be certainly a reward for something that you did. But the rewards of grace, let's go back to the word grace. Grace is pure gift. If you're gracious to someone, you're giving them something out of the love and kindness of your heart, something they haven't earned and something that you don't owe them and something they don't deserve. So the rewards of grace would be, as I said a moment ago, those fringed benefits, such as those things that come through fasting, those fringe benefits that flow from the grace that is yours through faith in Christ Jesus. It is He who earned. It is He who paid. It is He who has purchased your salvation in His own blood and now freely gives it. So this is a reward. This is a benefit. This is of the grace of the gift. The salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and a reward of grace or a fringe benefit of that grace is the help, the strength, the peace, the joy that we can have now. Too many Christians, and we're all guilty of this, look at Jesus and His cross as something that certainly will benefit us when we die and we'll go to heaven, but in the meantime, for crying out loud, I just got to do whatever I can, and God forgets about me, and He's not concerned with the things I'm concerned about. Oh, yes, He is. Yes, He is. But seek first Him and His righteousness, which is found in Christ Jesus, and all else will be given you. That's where we're back to that word seek again. I said this whole thing's going to be about seeking and what you're seeking and what you're looking to get. And the benefits are all found in through faith in Christ Jesus. So seeking first that kingdom of heaven and all of its benefits, and the rewards of grace are what? Everything else that will be given you. I'm kind of stealing your thunder because that's the closing to this group of readings today.
Yeah.
All else that we're talking about will be given you. Everything else will be given you. The psalmist says that when you set your heart on the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, He's not going to give you the desires of your sinful heart, but when you first set your heart on Him, seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, which is found in Christ Jesus, and then all else will be given you.
When it comes to this verse about, you know, you cannot serve two masters, are we essentially back to Joshua, choose this day whom you shall serve?
Yeah, God or mammon. Are you going to be building your hut? Are you going to be building your boat?
And that doesn't apply just to stuff. You know, that's everything.
That's everything. You know, where's your heart? What is it about? Are you looking to dig foundations and fortify yourself and set things up in this world? Are you into stuff or are you into people? Do you use people and love things, or do you love people and use things? And this gets back also to what we were saying earlier with do I have to go and give away, empty my bank account and give it all to the poor, and then and give my house away and give my car away and give my clothes away and live like some homeless person on the street in order to show God how much I love Him? No, He's given you all the things that you have. What you do with them will show where your heart is. Is it inwardly turned toward yourself? Is it toward having more for you? Or do you take the things that the Lord has given you in this life, your money and your possessions, and use them to for the benefit of your fellow man, of sharing that gospel, of building up treasures in heaven, of bringing more into the glory that's in Christ Jesus? He died for all. And yet, He's robbed of the glory if anybody goes to hell. Yeah, every dirty, rotten sinner that enters into heaven, it brings glory to Jesus' suffering and His death. People that go to hell, He suffered and died for them too. What a great opportunity to build up treasures, to bring greater glory to Christ who suffered and died for us by using what He's given us, by using everything He's given you, whatever it is, to the benefit, to further His kingdom, to increase those who believe in Him. That's really where it's at. That's where it's at. Serving two masters, serving the Lord or serving yourself.
Picking up at verse 25, under "Do not be anxious." Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, or what you will put on. It is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Don't worry.
Be happy.
Be happy. Easier said than done, isn't
it? Absolutely. It's easy for him to say. He's God.
Sure. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about any of this stuff. You know what I mean? Look at the birds. Look at the fields. Yeah. Easier said than done. But everything that he's talked about up to this point points toward how we can achieve that peace. And that's what they're really talking about. When you're not anxious, when you're not worried, when you're not just crushed with concern, what's the opposite of that? Peace. Where can you get that peace? Now, he doesn't say, he doesn't make promises that there's not going to be things wrong in your life. He's not promising that there isn't going to be a lack of perhaps food or shelter or clothing, that things are going to go the way you want them all the time. No, he doesn't make any of those promises. But you can have an abundance of those things and still not have peace. You can still be anxious. You can still be filled with worry. You can still be filled with problems. And you can also be a very poor person who has very little and have peace and contentment. This is a gift from God. Where does it come from? Well, seeking again. The key here, Jesus is opening up to, it's all a matter of what we seek. So, if we seek the glory of mankind and those around us through our fasting and our glorious rituals and all the things we do, no, do those things secretly. Seek the grace. What did you call it? You called it the rewards of grace.
The reward. That's what Luke was talking about.
Seek the rewards of grace that are found secretly through communion with your Heavenly Father, fasting so that you pray more with Him. Lay up treasures in heaven, not on earth. Look around you. The Lord has put many opportunities in your life to share of what you have with others around you, to show love and to share Christ. Seek first these things, not yourself. No one can serve two masters. Struggle not to be serving the world and yourself, but to be aligned with the Word of God. These are the things, these are the rewards of grace that flow through faith in Christ Jesus, that strengthens your faith in Christ Jesus, that deliver the dividends, the rewards of grace that are peace. What the closing of our worship service on Sunday, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds. That's at the end of our sermons. The Aaronic blessing, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is a closing to our worship services. Why? Because whether you've got a lot or whether you've got a little, if you don't have peace, what good is any of it? So it's not the stuff. It's that gift of God. It's that reward of grace, that benefit that comes through an increase of faith, an increase of prayer, by not seeking the things of this world, but seeking his kingdom and all of its righteousness, that peace that passes all understanding may be yours. That's And we can look at the birds and say, yeah, the birds, you know, I don't find too many of them starving to death, you know, laying on the ground. He takes care of the birds. He takes care of the fields. But we can still be quite fraught with anxiousness and worry. But the Lord Jesus has given us this day a clear idea of what we need to seek. Seek those things in His Word. Seek His sacrament. Seek worship. Seek those things, those rewards of His grace that benefit us now with peace and joy.
Let's go back to the phones. Bill apparently has identified you as a maestro of the musical word. Bill, good morning. Come on in.
Yes, good morning to Pastor Osmar and you too. The other guy.
That's Roland, the fabulous Roland Lettner.
Roland on the river. This is Bill, of course. Pastor Osmar knows this character, Mr. Bill. Okay. I was going to say something silly, but I'll say something serious first. You know, it's strange that a lot of these pastors, these ministers on TV, these prosperity ministers, they talk about having everything, your best life now, and just name and claim and all these things. And there's just so much in the Bible about how the apostles and the disciples of Jesus suffered and how Jesus suffered. And I can't believe that they can't see that in the Bible, how the gospel is something that you don't gain a lot of rich things of this world and prosperity and popularity and all that. I just don't know what kind of Bible they're reading, but you know, it's a shame that this such false teaching. I mean, I can't believe that people who claim to read the Bible or know the Bible cannot see the truth of this in the Bible. And I just want to make that comment. And then I was going to say something about the song that Pastor Ostermeyer is singing. The man who made that song or wrote that song, he was a cult leader. He had some kind of religious organization, and I think it was something like Silva Mind Control, but it wasn't Silva. I'm trying to think. Deepak Chopra or something. Anyway, he had some kind of a religious organization, and it was definitely not Christian. And although that's a cute song, it's a nice song. It's got some good sound to it and everything. But, you know, of all people, he thought he was happy, but he probably really wasn't, because he really didn't know Jesus and the salvation found only in Him.
Well put, Bill, that the true joy, true peace, and true happiness is only going to be found in Jesus Christ. The rest is going to be a lie and a lure from the devil, that you can have any of that in this world. That's why investing in your hut on this island that's getting ready to blow, or investing in the boat, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark that will carry us to safety, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Seek first His kingdom and all of His righteousness, and all else will be given you. Yeah, very well put, Bill.
Amen, all that. Okay, well, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate the call. All right, we've got a minute left, Pastor. You know, what should we do then, having read this text and about not worrying and fasting and storing up treasure in heaven? You know, Christian bookstores are filled with all kinds of advice on how to better seek God's kingdom and be righteous in this life. So what do we do?
Those books and read God's Word. Seriously. There are so many books written about God's Word, and so many books written about how to be right with God, and so many books written about it's never ending. Read God's Word. It is living. It is active. Go to the Gospel of John, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made through Him." And verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That's Jesus. You don't want to just read about Jesus. You want to engage Jesus. Read the Word. Read God's Word. Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Read His Word. It's not just a book like Huck Finn. It is God's Word. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of Christ. Read it, share it, seek it.
That's Pastor Tim Ostermeyer from Hope in St. Anne, Hope Lutheran Church. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Always fun to spend some time with you. Thanks for coming in. All the best to the good folks at Hope.
Thank you.
Especially Bill.
Yeah.
Who someday will call and remember my name. Coming up next, Ask the Pastor. Stick around.
We thank you for listening to the Bible Study on KFUO Radio, underwritten exclusively by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, now featuring online learning through iTunes U. Visit csl.edu for more information about Concordia Seminary. Stay tuned. Ask the Pastor, coming up next, Hour 2 of the Bible Study on KFUO Radio.